Hey, I'm John Horn. This week on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, we are joined by
Josh Gad. And as much as he wants you to believe that none of it is scripted, I'm telling you that even my name is in a paper in front of me and I'm reading it. And everything that I'm saying right now, I'm also reading. This is very meta.
And it's phonetically spelled out, so you know how to say Josh Gad.
And for some reason, it's also in Spanish. Yo soy Josh Gad.
It's called Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. You could download it on the Podcast One app.
You can hear it on Apple Podcast.
Or at podcastone.com.
You are done. Thank you very much.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, no friend. Thanks for hanging out with me and Drewski. We love you, Ski.
Yeah, Big Bad Drew loves it here.
I made a... made a note.
I'm, by the way, going around going.
I made a note because, you know, I love talking to you about how people like to change. It's sort of academia likes to, or the smart people like to change pronunciation of things.
Yeah. Nomenclature.
And then,
yeah.
And they do it all the time. Yeah. And, you know, divisives turn into divisive.
Oh, yeah.
It was divisive, like divide, you know, divisive for 100 years. And then the last 20 minutes, it's a very divisive speechmaker. The only reason they do it is to lord it over you, because now you feel stupid because they catch you. It's actually their entire game, Drew.
I get
it's their entire
game.
Well,
it's the way they sort of distinguish themselves. You know, it's my period of history,
no,
so.
No, but that whole group. Their entire game is not to do better for whoever it is they're talking about. Their entire game is to get you on your heels.
Yeah.
So when I'm here talking to Gavin Newsom, he's not interested in helping anyone. He's trying to get me on my heels.
Yeah.
And I know, I get it. Yeah, the way you think. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of racial divisiveness in our history. That whole thing is just basically call you stuff and then have you not pronounce it and whatever.
When I was in first year medical school, I had a guy called the bones that hold up your body, the skeletal system.
I love it. Yeah. So I have a new one.
And the whole room went skeletal. like what?
I have a new one, and I don't know how new it is. I don't know where everyone is at with it. Drew, it's going to be tough because you're a French-speaking fairy background. But I have never heard laissez-faire said any other way than laissez-faire. And I was watching Real Sports, and Brian Gumbel said laissez-faire. And I thought, is this our new divisive? Did he take laissez-faire? And because the thing about divisive and laissez-faire, that one was sort of like divide, and the other was lazy, basically, approach. And they both mean kind of the same thing, divide and a lazy approach to whatever.
Right.
But it's laissez now. Now, is that... is that new for you?
No, French is laissez. It's laissez.
All right, so he did the la.
Laissez. It's now I'm going to put my own weird spin on it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So how long before this catches on then? Brian Gumbel's already doing it, but I'm just trying to think.
Laissez-faire. It becomes...
yes,
you know, well,
Nick,
but,
sorry.
But you understand something.
Nick's from Wisconsin, so he's got all some right. thoughts on this.
In more recent years, I've heard it this way, but Steve Young on ESPN Monday Night Football, he always says laissez. He loves throwing that word out.
Yeah, I know that is the way the sort of the way it's done. Listen, language.
There's how it's written.
I know it's laissez there, laissez faire. Laissez would be right as well.
All right. But here's what I'm saying. We just say laissez faire. We've been saying it for a million years. Yeah. Can we just. And. Whatever it's morphed into, that's just the way it is. It's like the pronunciation of someone's name.
But language evolves, right? It always evolves. And the question is, why does it move in a certain direction? Why do dialogues and dialects and accents appear? They do. And part of it, the one that drives us crazy, is the narcissistic version of it, which is I'm doing it to put my stamp on it.
Yeah.
It's just my version.
Well, again, you go, excuse me, so... so you're a rape victim, a rape survivor.
I know.
And then no. So you're deaf, so you're hearing impaired. And my whole thing is, we did this on Loveline once.
It's an expression of aggression. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's aggression.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's not aggression. You ever meet a guy every once in a while, and so it's Bob McHale or McCallie? And they'll go, either way, it's fine with me.
Right.
I can always hang with that guy.
Yeah.
You can always hang that guy.
Yeah.
The other guy is the guy who gets the exotic first name and then corrects everybody all day, every day. And you know the funny thing about that guy? That guy can be at a goddamn Starbucks in Newberry, Connecticut, at an airport, on a layover. This guy could live in North Hollywood, California. And if this guy's name is Jerome and the barista says Jerome, he'll go correct that person.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he'll never see that person ever again. And my thing is like, let me explain why my narcissism trumps yours. I'll never see that person again. I'm not going to waste 19 syllables on that person. It actually makes me even more of a narcissist than you.
In a weird way, yes.
I see the utter futility of trying to correct this human being on the other side of this counter.
This has been driving you crazy long enough that you've actually adjusted to it. So now when you see T-A-R-A, you just go, Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit. Or
right.
Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit. Whatever
right.
it is, you adjust.
Right. Yes.
Put the whole thing in.
Laissez-faire, everybody. All right. So we got some calls here.
Speaking of ESPN, did you see my ESPN thing, Nick?
Nobody saw it.
Nick, you didn't see it?
Nobody sees anything.
My Clippervention.
I didn't.
What was
Where
that?
Where can we see this?
What is it?
Probably online now. Marcellus Wiley, I did an intervention on him.
It's Marcellus.
No, he would not do that, by the way.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
He's a big personality, but he's a great guy and super smart, and so he would not do that.
What'd you do?
He's got a little preoccupation and a little delusions around the Clippers, and so his whole team put together, whole world put together a big intervention that I led on his behalf.
Clippervention, they call it.
Clippervention.
We'll post a video on the website.
He is such a pleasure to work with, and it was so fun because they whipped it together in about 3 minutes, and it was all done direct to tape. I had no idea what I was doing. No one knew what they were doing, and because he is so sharp and in it and so, you know, went with it so much, it just worked. It was funny.
All right. Well, we'll make sure and check that out.
And because I had such good training and improv by you.
There you go. Well, speaking of that, I think Ray was complaining to you about me.
Let me talk about stamps first before I get into that. Convenient, easy, reliable. Stamps.com. We use it. I use it. Carl, I got a big conversation with my son today about stamps and forever stamps and not forever stamps. And just use stamps.com. Don't forget the post office. Forget the post office. He also drove to the post office. Where I thought, oh, man, we got to get this guy on stamps. Because you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. Write your own computer, your own printer. Just stick it in your mailbox. Hand it to your mail person, whatever it might be. Off it goes because you'll have confidence you put precisely the right postage on there. And they will send you that digital scale to automatically calculate the precise postage. That's right. And right now, enjoy stamps.com with a 4-week special trial plus some postage and the digital scale without any long-term commitment. So go to stamps.com, click at the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in ADS. That is stamps.com. Enter ADS. Anything you can do at the post office, you can do at Stamps and more. Stamps.com. You should never go to the post office again.
All right.
All right. So, Ray.
Right. So, I was talking about his oppositional disorder.
And to be fair, you were using him as a model. You weren't saying you were talking about all the people in your life that seem to have this phenomenon.
Well, I've
proclivity.
I've dealt with it's rampant. It's out there.
Well, a lot of people have it.
Last
show, I was telling you how I think it's an archetype. Mm-hmm. I think we just all sort of have that, and we need to come out of that archetype and come up with something more productive and more unifying. I don't know if it's back to the hero or some magician or somebody said to me, we need a King Solomon archetype. And I thought, philosopher warrior archetype.
All right. So
anyway, so I thought that was kind of interesting. But be that as it may, I don't necessarily want to read you what he sent me because I feel like that might be a little bit of a violation. But what he sent me was...
Well, you can just tell me the gist of it.
Well, I want to make sure I really get it right. Please call Adam out on his narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
That he's sort of saying that...
This is the way poor guys get rich.
Okay. What he's saying is that he's intimidated by you and that he feels that he can't...
Him and Bruce.
Bruce, I know.
Let me explain something. One time my wife said to me she was scared of me, and I said, no, you're not, because if you were, you'd do one of the many things that I ask you to do repeatedly and over again. That's what scared.
Well, not if you're oppositional defiant.
Well, there you go. It's like, I've said to anyone who says, I'm scared of you, I always go, I wish you were scared of me. Because then if you're scared of me, you'd actually do one of the many things I've asked you.
Not oppositional defiant, right?
Bruce?
Not at all.
No, a different yeah. syndrome.
What would you call that? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, what's Bruce do? Well, no, this thing
what's
actually...
What's that syndrome?
Well, they can live together.
Okay.
Or they can live apart. He doesn't know he's alive unless someone is yelling at him that he's an idiot. And that he has to. He gets himself in these environments, recreates this stuff, and then engages in this
traumatic
dance.
Traumatic reenactment.
Yes. He comes in here with his 19 papers and knocks something over and then says something stupid like, you know, he you'll be doing a live read, and he'll just go, oh, I'll let you finish reading your commercial. You know, and you go, why do you have to say reading? I pretend like I'm talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, he always has to.
Well, so that's to me, that means he's, first of all, that's a lack of skill, right? So he's not really paying attention to what he's doing. But secondly, it's a lack of observing ego. He doesn't see himself. Right?
I'll give you all you need to know about Bruce. When I said to Lynette, I'm going to go, she said, today, you make the announcement on Endless Rant IPA. This is going to be great. And then I went, okay. And then later on, I said, oh, boy, Drew's here. Bruce. Bruce is going to be here. And he said, Lynette said, so what? And I said, I know Bruce. He's going to say something bad or stupid about it or whatever it is. And she said, well, what can he say about an IPA? It's just a great beer, and what's the deal? And I said, I don't know. I just know that's what Bruce does. Bruce is gonna say something. He's going to yell at him to shut up. And I made my announcement about the Endless Rant IPA. And he, like, at some point, like, got hold of the can. And I was talking it up. It was like, 6.2 alcohol, huh? And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, that's pretty low. I was like, well, that's about average. A lot of those IPAs are up at 8 or 9, you know. And I was like, okay, here we go. Oh, there we go. And then I went home and I said, well, Lynette,
do you know
there you go.
But
he said, what did he say? And I said, he started talking about that. And she's like, why would he do it? I said, because he's,
but you know,
that's what he does.
I have a similar thing that I've had to get control over the years.
Yes.
It's a weird sort of Tourette's. It's kind of like a Tourette's.
It's a weird,
thing.
Horrible yeah. quality. It's a weird, horrible quality.
Thank you.
That you should do away with.
Thank you. Which I've endeavored to do. But I can relate to it as something that is kind of a weird narcissism.
Oh,
it's a little Tourette's-y, and it kind of comes out of anxiety and like I'm not feeling funny, so I'm trying.
You're allowed to remain silent while the person unveils his beer tastes good.
I
no
understand.
One pressed you on alcohol content. That's the crazy part.
But I'm trying
about
to explain it to you.
No, I get it. Yeah. I know who he is. That's sure. his syndrome.
All right.
That's
it.
His syndrome. He's not oppositional.
So
that's
sort of
his
kind of a weird, weird twisted narcissism with a little Tourette's, right?
Yeah, I got that.
Wait,
Ray,
it's anxiety disorder, really, is what it is.
So, yeah.
Ray, you know, Ray or my dad, for that matter, they feel I have a narcissistic disorder. What I have is a realistic disorder, which is
realistic. We got to come up with a new term.
Well, it's interesting. I don't really think I'm in a
real cystic.
I don't think that I'm any better than I am. But I realized that I was a guy who couldn't read a book and then have been on the New York Times bestseller list 3 or 4 times now. And I realized, I'm a guy who couldn't afford to see a movie and now I make movies, you know?
Yeah, yes, Mr. Chaplin.
I'm able to do a lot of things that I couldn't formally do.
No one ever accused Charlie of not being narcissistic.
I couldn't, first off, if I was really narcissistic, you know what it'd come out in the form of? It'd come out in the form of women.
I was thinking that. Yeah.
You'd see me going over to where women were in an event or whatever.
Yeah.
When I do a gig, nobody's out of there faster than I am. Nobody's in the car and going to the hotel faster than I am to be left alone and watch TV.
Yep.
Beat off.
Remember how we used to, when we were at college campuses, we would do that. And the promoter or the speaking bureau we work for always go, oh, my God, so-and-so was here last week, you know. Pauly Shore was here last week, and oh, Christ, people find out about that immediately. We're like, huh?
Well, let's really examine that. Part of a guy, especially a young man, younger man, in his narcissistic disorder would be going up on stage for 90 minutes and then seeing what kind of local talent the town had to offer. Or at least basking in it.
I think we were old enough not to have a will to live.
I wasn't that old. I was 31. Yeah. You know, that's not exactly, that's 14 in this town. Yeah. I had plenty of testosterone going. Yeah. I just don't have that narcissistic thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So all I ever want to do is get in the car and get back to the hotel for you and I to sit down and have a glass of wine.
I know. And we just go to bed.
Okay. So I would argue.
We'd have a little something in that bed.
I would argue that a lot of the narcissistic disorder. It has to. I don't know if it has to, but I'd be interested in this. Mm. Wouldn't it manifest itself in the opposite sex to some?
You would think, however, not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but might it would present
You would think so, unless they're
a little bit that way.
Yeah, but again, the real thing of narcissism is the lack of self appreciation of the impact of the self on others.
I have. But I've made it pretty easy for people, which is I'm going to explain to you exactly what to do, and then I'm going to leave.
Yeah,
And I'm going to tell you, I'm not telling you to do this because I found it inside a fortune cookie. I'm going to tell you how to do this because I've lived it. Mm. There's nothing I'm asking you to do or telling you to do that I haven't done 100 times. Mm. Times 100 times. Take an improv class. I've taken hundreds of improv classes.
I understand, but so why? Now, that's what you focused on with Ray, was that in unwillingness to do what you said as it pertains to preparing for the show. His perception was, again, I didn't get into him deep, but I think his perception was, I can't do improv with him because he overwhelms me. I'm just
Max
saying. That's his perception. I'm not saying it's the fact. I'm saying
it prevents you from taking an improv class that I won't attend?
No, I think he twisted it on over to, here's why I can't do improv.
Well, he's twisting it on over, but that's not... I'll twist it all on over that... I have full-blown AIDS, and he shouldn't be picking on me. You don't have AIDS. Well, that's my perception of me, and you can't deny that. Look, there is no excuse for any of these idiots. And I've talked to my stupid dad about this, who's the worst therapist in the world. And he's like, well, you got to understand, coming from you, you got to understand what that sounds like to Ray. And I'm like, first off, I don't have to understand that. I simply asked him to take an improv class.
Oh, no, that. Yeah. You talked about that?
Yes.
You talked to your dad about that particular exchange.
I told him you have a client with a oppositional disorder.
And what did he say?
He was oppositional. He called me fat.
Oh, my. Oh, my God.
No, I said to him, I said, listen, Dad, you got a guy. He's got this disorder, and you need... I respectfully suggest that you get into it because it is not serving him at all. By the way, that disorder at the bottom end can get you killed by a cop. At the lower ends of that, you'll get shot by a cop. Cop will tell you to get out of the car and start complying. You'll start turning around and walking at him. That's the sort of physical version of it. The emotional version just means you have no career and no income and you'll be a renter your whole life. That's what that means.
I think also...
It impedes.
I know. I get you.
It's an impediment.
But I think you're actually hurting him. It's an impediment. Right now. I actually think you're actually hurting him now. I think he's actually being hurt.
That's his prerogative, though.
No, you don't get to, an arrow goes through my arm. I don't get to choose that it hurts me.
You're hurting patients by telling them to quit smoking and stop drinking and coming down on them.
If I were to tell them there's something wrong with them, that they
I never said anything's wrong with anybody. Like, I simply tell you what will benefit you the most.
Just take it in. I think we're hurting him. I'm participating. I think we're hurting him.
No. Last time I talked to him, he said he was signed up at UCB.
Oh, you may get the behavior you want out of it. It might happen, and that would be a triumph from your
perspective.
Well, first
off, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with a guy who's turning 54 in 3 weeks and lives in an apartment. What's the hurt, Ray?
I think you, well,
how are we going to hurt Ray?
Well, you know, this is an interesting spot right here.
No, Drew, you know what?
No, listen
you
to me.
Become a hypocrite.
No,
tell you why you're a hypocrite.
First you listen.
You would not accept this from any of your children, one iota of his behavior from any of your two sons. Your two sons, they acted one drop, one hummingbird's beak drop of what Ray does. You would come on down like a hammer.
But I would, yes, and okay. I would argue that what we've done, and you would consider this a triumph, but I'm saying we've also hurt him along the way, is I think we're breaking through his defensive shell a bit, and that's what hurts. When reality comes pouring in, it's a little painful. And I'm wondering, is there a way we can do it to make it a also get the same outcome, which is he signs up at UCB, well done, and you'd be able to tolerate the dosing of what's coming in.
Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm done. I don't care. Right. That's the whole thing. Right.
Typically the wrong time to bail out.
The worst place you can get to me is when I stop talking.
Yeah.
And there are people, multiple people in my life, I'm done. Just go stay. Hey, steady she goes.
Well, that's how
stay the path.
That's how most people deal with it. So nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I get it. Reality on reality's terms, whatever it is. Ray, you talked to my dad till you're blue in the face about career goals. And my dad, the only person on the planet who shouldn't be talking to anybody about life, and we'll talk to you about life.
Okay.
And then you guys can get together and decide it's my fault. That'll be fun. Okay. Or you can go hang out with Kevin Hinch and Nick Santora and really get somewhere in life. And that's what I choose to do. Now, here's why I'm saying this to you, Drew.
Yeah, I'm all ears.
This thing where you go, hey, look, you know, you say...
Where I go or you... Or
you
I,
go, okay. Society goes.
Okay.
You say you would benefit from taking an improv class and they hear you're stupid.
Yeah.
And then we're supposed to rush to their defense. We talk about where we're heading as a society and how it's going off the rails. This is the problem.
I agree with you.
You get it?
So, listen, I'm saying yes and to just about everything you're saying, but there is an and to all this stuff.
I'm joining the adults over on this side of the room who feels free to say to people I care about, here's what you would benefit from,
and then
leave the room. And if they hear that as you're fat or you're stupid or you're dumb, that'll be their prerogative.
Not only that, but I would argue...
I'm going to hear count my money.
Fine, but I would argue that once you deliver the blow... We need to stay present with people as they manage what we've been pushing through. That's all I'm saying. It's okay to like care what they're feeling when you're acting about it.
Let's never lose sight of what we're talking about here. We're starting a TV show. You would benefit from taking an improv class. Please find your way to that class.
Well, but to be
that,
fair,
that is all. That is
you,
all.
You really
want
to?
This is not a crown between. Hi, well, I'm having trouble being intimate with my wife because I feel like she's unattractive, but she feels her feet hurt when I say that.
Here's how I would have dealt with it. You didn't get the class. You don't get the job. Get the class or job. You're up to you.
I already
you're
had the job.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to cut it short.
I can't cut it short, Drew. You can't deal with it that way.
Well, yeah, you can.
It's a done deal
because you're in deep with him,
Drew. Would you believe me when I tell you the job was already done, the show was beginning?
All right, but the point being,
no,
is,
now what's the point?
The point is that in dealing with situations like this, you know, dealing with addicts and stuff, I bring very hard consequences to bear.
Right, but so this addict was already going to Coachella to get
fine.
High.
That's fine.
It was on the way.
That's fine.
So now what?
There'll be no other jobs without the improv class or whatever. We can't continue.
Do you think threats work on these people?
Consequences.
No other jobs? They've had no other job their whole life.
Okay.
Consequences. If consequences worked, they would do something. Their problem is consequences. Right. No, consequences. Oh, if I had a handful of M&Ms and you can't have the M&Ms, that would work. Long term?
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
No, I know what you mean.
All right. So work it out and figure it out.
All right, let's go to calls.
Or not.
I want calls.
That's my new
thing. Or not is fine, too. Line four.
It's not fine when I have to share the stage with you.
No, I understand
that. That's the difficult part.
I understand that.
That's the difficult part. That's when it does involve me.
Well, that's when I would create some consequences.
What are the consequences?
To the extent that you can.
I'll hit you with a flip-flop after the show? No, the consequences are you don't get...
You can pay people off and get them off the set.
I can tell you from personal experience the flip-flop thing works.
It does work.
Thank you. James.
James?
Yeah?
What's going on?
Sorry, I got you on speaker.
All right.
So, my girlfriend and I have been together a long time. Dr. Drew says everybody has HPV, some variation of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Except for Adam.
Yeah.
He has it in his mouth. He doesn't have it on his penis.
Yeah.
And maybe his anus. I'm not sure. Ooh. I didn't check.
Well, goes. If I got it from my mouth to your penis, then it would be my anus. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
My girlfriend has this version or whatever, whatever you call it, that is bad. That
it's a new visual to Big Bad Drew.
Big, oh, wow. Oh,
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so your girlfriend was recently diagnosed with it?
Yeah, it's been a year or two. 112 or something, like this number that is typically the cancer-causing version, not
right.
the version
What's the
that
number?
Makes things
show
Well,
I think she's talking about the subtype of the virus. Mm-hmm. So have you had the vaccine?
No, I didn't know I could get a vaccine after yes. the fact. Or if
yes, please get the vaccine. Now, okay. now, after the fact, no, you've already been exposed to her, and that's that. But you should still get that damn vaccine. So should she?
Why? How's she going to benefit from it?
Are you
couldn't
guys?
Hoit?
Yeah, couldn't hoit exactly. I mean, it's just everybody get that damn vaccine. It's just so ridiculous that it will take away the more serious versions of the virus that can cause cancer: the mouth, cervix, vagina, anus, pharynx, larynx, tongue. So, I mean, this is ridiculous that we're you know in an age when people are getting exposed to this virus and aren't taking the vaccine for it.
But I've heard you talk about the vaccine before, Drew, but I thought that would be – I didn't know that anybody – that everybody should get it. And I'm glad to hear that you say that.
Well,
now.
Here's what happened.
I think that should be preached.
Here's what – I am. And here's what I was saying for a long while was, well, if you're a male – first of all, there was not approved for the male until about 6-7 years ago, or maybe 10 years ago now. And then, well, it's only age 11 to age 26 or 28. And then finally I found enlightened infectious disease peers who were able to say in public, oh, yeah, everybody should get this because the drug company went for that particular age range because that was the biggest market for them. They needed to get it approved in that range. And to go beyond that range would have cost them a fortune, like another $800 million. They just didn't get the approval. That doesn't mean we as physicians can't use it outside of that 28-year-old age range. Everyone should be getting it.
All right,
who's
Jay.
Sexually active. Okay?
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you. Let me tell you.
Big Bad John.
Oh, true.
Keep going.
I'll tell you about
we got new lyrics to this.
I got Bark Box over here.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, 4 to 6 natural treats and super fun toys picked around a surprise theme each month. You just tell them how big your dog is. I think Philly cheesesteak would just be one of those 100-pound and above box. I don't think you'd keep – they don't have a box for Philly. You just go above – whatever it is, box, yes?
Yeah.
The top of the box, man. Bark boxes, they're shipped on the 15th of each month. Cancel anytime. Free shipping in continental U.S. And if your dog doesn't like something in the box, they'll send you something new for free. How about that? You can't lose with Bark Box. All edible treats are made in either the United States or Canada. So, you know, they're good. Lots of high quality there. And for a free extra month, you can just go to BarkBox.com/Corolla. When you subscribe, you get a free month for free. And they have plans that are 1 month, 6 month, 12 month, whatever you like. They're easy. And again, tell them how big the dog is and get that treat. It's a good gift. And it's a good gift to get to gal in your life who's got a mutt. BarkBox.com/Corolla to subscribe and get that extra month for free.
Drew, take line two.
Hold on.
Ah.
I'm not done.
Uh oh. What?
One of the key components to the one of the key components to this oppositional thing is I like that Ray communicated. See, Ray's communication with you should be help, not tell Adam to look at his whatever. That's one of the hallmarks of this is you're fat too,
well,
or you're whatever too.
Any in quotes personality disorder. It's all about the world, not about me.
Right.
Yeah. So.
But
he is engaged in quite a long dance with you, to be fair.
Well, listen, I'm fine with Ray. I simply look, I told everyone, take an improv class. It's easy. You owe it to yourself, but you do owe it to me because I have to work with you and you're not listening.
See, I think that's the problem. You ought to focus on specifics like that. And I know you were. I know.
That's what I said.
I know.
None of this, by the way, any of these discussions never have to go past the first discussion. They really have no reason to ever go past the first discussion. The groundlings told me to take an acting class because I was a horrible actor after my first class, and we never had another discussion about it except for where should I go? Yeah. Go to a place called the acting go to the acting center. Where is it? It's on Ventura. Oh, it's across from the McDonald's I used to work at when I was 16. Yeah, go in there. Go take a class. When you're done, you can take intermediate. Okay. Never another discussion. Why? because I couldn't act.
But there was a motivational predisposition.
I didn't look
there.
At them as being mean them, or bad or anything.
It was
I looked
work.
At them as I must be a little short in the acting department.
The way you paint Ray, he's always looking not to work.
No. So this is just everybody, okay. And it's not to work.
Okay.
Ray works 10 times as hard as I work because of his oppositional disorder.
He's stuck working that hard.
Everybody who has this disorder has to work twice as hard as everybody because you can't get ahead.
Yeah.
I can take a day off and get paid. Ray can't.
Yeah.
That's the disorder. I'd like to push past that.
Don't you feel bad for him that has a disorder?
No.
Why not?
Because at a certain point, when people explain to you in plain English pretty straightforward stuff that is for your benefit,
but it's a disorder.
You choose to come back
at them.
This
is you now. This is your thing. You always engage the disorder as though it's going to, like, it's like trying to talk a heroin addict out of heroin.
All right. Well, then it is what it is. And I don't feel bad or good about it. It's just a disorder.
Okay.
You know, right. I understand it. Right. I'm fine with it.
Stop engaging.
I'm not engaging. I'm done.
Mine too.
But believe me, everybody, the worst thing I can be is done, even though that's what you'd like. Chris, 29.
Hey, guys.
Hey there.
What's going on?
Hey, just wanted to say, Adam, I saw Howie Mandel killed it on your show.
Yeah,
he's great.
I was laughing so loud the entire time. My wife and daughter came in the room just to see what was happening. Yeah. But it was so good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to Mike August. I talked to Lynette about it, too. I said, you know, Howie Mandel's one of the funniest, and Mike says, yeah, he doesn't get his due. And I said, yeah, because we have to decide that Lena Dunham is like or Amy Schumer or Louis C.K. We have to decide that they're the second coming of comedy all the time. But when did attitude weave so much into comedy?
I was going to say,
Howie Mandel is funnier than all those people,
yeah.
But he's just a goofy, regular dude.
You can't look like you're working now at comedy. You know what I mean? Is that sort of what that is?
I guess.
He looks like he's got too much energy. Like
Howie Mandel can't be on everyone's top 100 list of funniest people because that's turned into a cool kids list and not a funny list. Sad, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We love Howie.
Yes. He's one of the greatest guys.
Yeah.
Has always been. We've known him for a long time.
Oh, right. But he doesn't pout. And maybe if he pouted more, he'd be known as a funnier comedian.
You there?
Uh-oh, Chris?
Oh, man.
You got to go off on Howie Mandel. We forgot his question.
He had a very complicated question.
Well, he did say greed. He's funny.
Let's see if he calls back.
All right, let's get him back.
He had a stroke a year ago.
I know. His dad. He wants to know how that may change somebody's personality. He's like, wait, did you push on line three?
I didn't push anything. It dropped off.
No, line three is on. Oh, maybe they're in there screening it. That's what that is.
Yeah. Check line two again. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah, no go.
Hold on. All right, let me tell you about that. Well, we'll get him back.
Yeah.
We'll get him back.
Oh, he's on line three.
Oh, he's on line three.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Hello?
Hey, guys.
Chris?
Okay.
Sorry.
So anyway, I also did want to give a shout-out to Bobby's World because I love Howie, especially because of that. I grew up watching that. So anyway, about a year ago, my dad had a stroke. He's been using... And a little bit before that, probably about for the last 5 years, he's been using oxys for his back for back pain, but also he's just an addict, you know?
Oh, boy.
So I grew up with, like, an amazing dad. Apparently, he was, like, a really, really, like, an alcoholic before I was born. And then, like, he, you know, did the born-again Christian thing, and, like, that's how I grew up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was completely changed. Awesome, awesome dad. Took me camping, took people, you know, other kids from the church camping. Like, he was just a good dude. And then he became, like, this super, he started taking pills.
Yeah.
And then, which I know is bad for people, especially alcoholics.
Mm-hmm.
So, got worse and worse. And then he would go through periods of, of doing the, like, heroin addict, like, zoning out during the day and falling asleep. And then the whole family would be like, hey, Dad, you know, like, what's going on? You got to chill with the pills. And then he would stop for, like, 8 months. So, anyway, that continued for, like, 5 years. And then he had a stroke, and his whole personality changed. And the pills, I don't know how much they played into that. And I don't even know if the stroke caused it. But he has no inhibitions now at all. He says super inappropriate things. He and I, in a matter of months, you know, now I don't talk to him at all. And it, our relationship for my entire life, like, you know, it just crumbled.
So
it's gone.
So he's off the pills now or not? We don't know.
Oh, no, he's on them.
He's on the pills, yeah. Well, so who knows what other combination they have him on now or what the consequence of that combination would be by itself. But there's no doubt that a frontal lobe, particularly in the area of the orbital frontal cortex, stroke causes tremendous disinhibition. I would suggest you get the book Descartes' Error and read about the case of Phileas Gage.
Wow.
This guy has a piece of metal blow through a certain part of his brain, and he survives it and becomes just like this.
Hmm. What's the book called?
Descartes' Error by a guy named Damasio. And Descartes, the idea that, you know, we're a mind and a body is totally flawed. We're just this mind-body complex. And Descartes has, you know, his cogito, you know, I think, therefore I am. And he got it wrong. He should be, I think, therefore nature or God has created matter that has develops the capacity to think.
Harder to get on a license plate
frame.
It is. All right. Read that book, and I'll tell you about LifeLock. Ah, chances are you use the same password for multiple accounts. It's a bad habit. Increases the chances of hacks and identity theft. Install a password manager and get LifeLock. Identity theft is America's fastest growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. Philly Cheesesteak, he's in the next room. He's licking everyone's knees. He's got LifeLock. My wife has it. My kids have it. We all have LifeLock because identity theft, well, there's a bunch of guys sitting around. First off, it's not, you know, back in the day, you get your stereo stolen, but the guy had to live sort of in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Now they're just in China or Russia or wherever stealing your identity. So that it ups the amount of thieves. It's like if everyone could get to your house internationally.
Somebody's been on my podcast many times, Lisa Stroman, is a digital expert. She says Croatia and I think Latvia are the two big sort of hotbeds now.
I knew I didn't like them. All right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. And it starts at just $9.99 a month for LifeLock. Drew.
Crazy. $9.99. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use the promo code Adam, and you'll get 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. That is 1-800-LifeLock, 1-800-LifeLock.
All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and check out anything you want. Cruises, No Safe Spaces, documentaries, whatever you want. Go to Carolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette. She's doing a bang-up job over there. Drewski, what do you got?
Go to DrDrew.com and check out the Dr. Drew podcast. Maria Bamford. Very interesting. You will not want to miss this.
So, and if you get Descartes' Error, click through the banner.
Oh, yeah.
DrDrewShow.com.
At Amazon. We have it on. Why don't we put it up on my website? I'm sure it's one of my favorite books. Great book. So. And get the other family podcast there. Sign up, bookmark. Please participate. We appreciate it.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew. Say it. Mahalo.